a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Longer than expected, but I'd like to get going and get you folks going with something more important today than to hear, and I appreciate you being here to address the committee and introduce yourself. Before I get started, I'm going to give you the friendly reminders of turning off your cell phones. Please, no texting up here if you can help it. Give the speakers, those that will be addressing us today, your full attention. I'd like to welcome those that are listening over the Internet. We are on the Internet now, folks, so at this time, I'm going to call the meeting to order and ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Craig?
Here.
Hayek?
Here.
Heineman?
Here.
Heinert?
Here.
Butterell?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Cotton?
Here.
Soli?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Tyler?
Here.
Here. Rounds?
You have a quorum.
I
was going to wait till the end of the committee to give you the good news, but too many people have been asking me already. We have no bills assigned yet to this committee. The early bills coming in are usually from agencies, and the only real agency that comes through this committee would be our Honorable Secretary of State. And I guess he didn't trust us with his bills this year, so he's starting them over in the Senate. So that means we have nothing to really schedule for Tuesday, so since we don't have session on Monday, we will not have a Tuesday morning meeting. So you that want to drive in Tuesday morning, you're more than welcome to. This is the time where we normally have the approval of the minutes. We have no minutes since this is our first meeting, but I would usually ask for somebody to approve them. I'm going to kind of run through our schedule here on how we, just a little bit of a review. We spent some time yesterday with the chairs and vice chairs going through the meetings, the decorum, etc. At this time, I usually advise the lobbyists and those that are going to testify to sign in, and the lobbyists to have their badges with them. Then I will allow at this time, normally, people who want to make an introduction of maybe a family member that they have sitting off to our left up here, they can introduce their family member. Representative Craig, do you have an announcement?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My oldest daughter, Kayla Craig, right here, who for a short amount of time moved to California. She just lost her mind for a short period of time, but there was something good that came out of it. She did get engaged a couple weeks ago to who I'm calling a future South Dakotan. He can't wait to get up here, and we got a wedding upcoming March 22nd. Thank you very much.
Congratulations and welcome. This is also the time that I normally introduce our pages, have them introduce themselves, but I'm looking out front here. We do not. Here she comes. She's been working. And she's busy. We will have her introduce herself. And also, we will have an intern assigned to us. We had some issues there, but we will have an intern introduced to you, hopefully, in our next meeting. Just a reminder as we get going, the cadence during committee for you committee members is when we start on bills, I will introduce the bill with a bill number and read the title of the bill. And then I'll ask for proponent testimony, and then we'll ask for opponent testimony. If there is opponents, I'll allow a rebuttal, hopefully keep it short, but the rebuttal to the proponents. And then we will then proceed with committee questions of those that have testified. Then we'll close it to committee discussion. As a chairman, I am one of those that really appreciates it if, when we get to discussion, I'd like to see a motion made on either moving an amendment or moving a due pass or moving a deferral to the 41st, and that'll be your term to use if you just want to put the bill away. Defer to the 41st legislative day, as you all know. And that way we're not spending time going back and forth before a motion's made and then wasting more time discussing the motion, if that makes sense. You're entitled to discuss. But I think for the matter of moving the committee along, if you really like the bill, let's get that motion to do pass out front so we can discuss that motion. If there's an amendment, I'd like to have that entertaining a motion to amend so we can discuss that and kind of keep things on the straight and narrow. If there is a motion to table a bill, there is no discussion after that motion. Absolutely none. I will. That's under the rules. And those of you who don't have a red book, get one. If you've got your red book, it's always nice to have it with you or to just kind of review the committee process. I will not allow people sitting on this committee to go out front and testify unless they are the prime sponsor of a bill. We as a committee have that opportunity to testify during discussion and questions. I think what it does is it gives an undue influence. It's our responsibility up here to hear the testimony. We may be really in favor of a bill or really opposed, but we have that opportunity to sit up here and take the testimony. We have that opportunity up here to discuss it and ask the questions. So I will not allow an individual to go out, sign in, and testify unless they are the prime sponsor. Now, if you are the prime sponsor of a piece of legislation, and it includes me, if I'm the sponsor, I'm going to hand the gavel over to the vice chair or another person, and I'm going to get to that part later, and I will be out there until we are done with public testimony. But I will not hold the gavel until that bill's done. You as members of the committee will also be a testifier, be available for questions until we're done with public testimony. I believe that it's your bill. You should be part of those that are questions, given answers. So keep that in mind. When I pass the gavel, I'll sit out there and somebody will handle the chair. And that brings me to the person that's handling the gavel, whether it's myself, my vice chair, or in some circumstances, it could be one of you chairing this committee. There could be an instance where I'm at home with a tummy ache, and she's got another bill. My vice chair's got another bill someplace. Somebody's got to chair this. That person is always the chair, and you respect the person who's got the hammer, because some know how to use it better than me. I will turn them on you if you do not show them the respect. So you will call that person to chair. They are chairing the hearing. They're chairing the bill. So keep that in mind. It'll always be Mr. Chair, Madam Chair. All questions, all comments go through the chair. We direct everything through the chair. You want a question to ask? Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, I'd like to ask a question. You'll be recognized. You can then address the person answering. Response through the chair, no matter who that individual is. And then I think I've gone through most everything that I feel, just kind of as a reminder. Personally, family comes first, folks. If you've got an issue at home, something going on back at home, let me know. I will do anything I can to arrange hearings, delay things that I can possible so you can take care of matters at home. If you've got to run home, I had a committee member one time whose wife was expecting, what are you doing here? She's going to the hospital today to have a baby. Go. We will hold your bills. We will hold the important ones until you come back. Let me know in advance. If you're sponsoring a bill coming to this committee, visit with me. I'll seek you out. But I like to get an idea of who's going to be testifying, how many people are testifying, are there people from out of town? If somebody comes in from out of town and we're really running short on time, they are going to testify while they're here. I don't want people to have to make a second trip. So your communication with myself or any chair is important. Let them know I've got two people coming in from out of town to testify on this bill, and there are several others that will be testifying. The committee chairs need to know that. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Hyman.
I know. Oh, you forgot my title here.
You got your title? Thank you.
Can't now I have the senator title for just a couple minutes? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm interested in a point of clarification because I agree with you that when public testimony is closed, the chairman then asks for a discussion. I think you usually stated and or a motion. And I agree with your assessment that there needs to be a motion before the discussion starts. But in many of the committees, the discussion starts and then someone makes a motion. So could you clarify that for me? According to the Mason's rules, anyhow?
If I may, this is the way I personally like to see a committee run. I've seen committees where we've sat up here, taken testimony, it's time for discussion, and 10 people want to make a 3 or 4 minute comment. Then finally somebody makes the motion, and we go through those 7, 8, 9, 10 people again, support it or don't. And now we're talking on days when we get close to crossover, we may have this. Actually, this committee could have a lot of bills this year. We will find out shortly from some of these people, but now you're talking over a half hour on just discussion. If you know in advance that, you know, I really like this bill, let's get it started. That's my personal. You don't have to make that motion. But I think for clarity, let's discuss passing or non-passage instead of, you know, it makes me feel real good to see this bill and let's talk about it before we make a motion. We are I like to give adequate time to each bill. Every bill is here for a reason. They deserve adequate testimony. They deserve to have it heard and discussion. And when we get to those tight days, close to crossover, I don't like to put time limits on because some issues need to be discussed. But there's going to be that time where I may say 20 minutes proponent, 20 minutes opponent. Hopefully we don't. But if we kind of get into that attitude, yeah, let's talk about a due pass. Let's get the motion going. That's just my suggestion. Who knows? A couple of weeks from now, we may be to where I didn't want to be and we're discussing it, but keep that in your mind. And that's all I'm asking. It's not part of the rules. It's the privilege of the chair to ask that we do that. Further questions? Does the vice chair have any comments she would like to make? Representative Hayek, you kind of looked at me like, I've got a question.
Well, I do, because our wonderful Paige, we sent her on an errand to pick up stuff, and so she's here, and I don't want her to be overlooked.
She will not be ignored. We do have in our presence a Paige, and these Paiges do us a lot of help. Some people say they just get coffee, but she's been busy all morning for us already. So would you come up to the microphone, turn it on so there's a green light. Tell us who you are, where you're from.
Okay, I think this one's already on, yep. Okay, well, my name's Tiara Tingle. I'm from Brandon, so I go to Brandon Valley High School. And I guess something about me is just I want to go to UNL in Nebraska and pursue pre-law. So, yeah.
Well, good for you, and I hope you have a good time while you're here. Every other page I've talked to has said it's one of the most memorable events. We appreciate you coming here to help us. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks.
Okay, now that I've gone through my checklist this morning, I just wanted to have some of those faces and names that we will probably see coming in and out of our committee a lot this year come in and introduce themselves, talk a little bit about who they've got on their staff that may appear in front of us or be sitting in the room, and possibly give us a little heads up on possible legislation that they may be bringing. First one up today is the Honorable Secretary of State, Jason Gant. Mr. Secretary? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you very much for the invitation. I put together a two-hour speech, but after the delay in starting, I figure I'll narrow this down a little bit. But really appreciate the opportunity. There's been a lot of things going on in the Secretary of State's office. I'm really excited to share with you on what's coming up in the 2014 year, as well as with it being a big election year. The chairman mentioned some legislation. The Board of Elections has approved 3 different bills. They've all been introduced as Senate bills. They're Senate Bill 33, 34, and 35. Those bills deal with three ranging issues. One of them is a military bill, which will assist our soldiers in the election process. The second one, if you remember last April, we had quite the blizzard and ice storm that canceled around, I think it was 100 elections across the state. So we have a bill that's going to help clarify how the emergency process works when there is a situation such as that. The last bill that the Board of Elections approved is a bill to limit the ability of outside or third-party groups to be able to give money to counties to run their elections. So with those three bills, we'll have some great discussion, I believe, and hopefully work out any details that you may have questions or concerns on. In addition to that, we will have... I'll be asking one of you to carry this bill, but the 26th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which was passed back in the 1970s, South Dakota has yet to ratify that amendment. Over the fall, we were working on a project to try and get our 18-year-olds more involved in the process, and as we were doing a little research, we saw that South Dakota was one of a handful of states that hasn't ratified that, so we'll be bringing that bill to you as well. But I wanted to back up and start with our military program, which is we've called IOASIS, which is our innovative overseas and absentee voting system. Right now, you and I have the luxury of walking down to our local courthouse to be able to begin the election process. Say you're new to the area and it's the election season, you can walk down to the courthouse, you can register to vote while you're standing there, you can request an absentee ballot, you can receive your ballot, and you can cast your ballot, all while you're standing right there at the county auditor's desk. Well, that's the luxury that we have. If you're serving over in Afghanistan or some other foreign place on this planet, you don't have that opportunity. So what we have done with our IOASIS program is we've basically taken that county courthouse and we've made it mobile where it can be anywhere in the world. And very excited about this. We've been working very closely with the U.S. Department of Defense. We've been working with a lot of their contractors on gaining access to Department of Defense data so that we can ensure that this process is going to be 100% secure. So very excited about that. The South Dakota National Guard and Ellsworth Air Force Base have been extremely helpful to us over the past 6, 8, 9 months with giving us insights on their experiences, on what some of their concerns have been, and then just testing and using the system. So very excited about the progress that we've had there. As I mentioned, we have one piece of legislation to help with that program, but we will be using the program in the April Sioux Falls and Brookings elections, as well as, of course, the statewide primary election in June, and then the general election in November. The ability for us to have this type of cutting-edge, first-in-the-nation military voting program has all been possible because of a new election management system that I've given you bits and pieces of information on over the past few years, and that system is called Total Vote. What that system is it has completely eliminated our old system where each of the 66 South Dakota counties had their own system. We've now created one system that all the counties then access, so it is as real-time as possible data, and with the ability to create ballots within that system, that's made it possible for our military members to be able to access everything. A program that I'm very proud of that started back when I was a state senator is the use of electronic poll books. We've expanded considerably since 2011 when Sioux Falls school election was our first pilot election in the state's history to where by the end of this year we will have 14 other elections that will be using the electronic poll books. And we're very excited to add Brown County, Brookings County, Hughes County, and in addition to our other counties that have been using the system. So it's really, I think, achieving the goal of what I think the Secretary of State office should do, and that's try and get as many people as possible to be able to cast their ballots. And by creating a system that's going to save county tax dollars, plus make it more accessible for people to vote, because with e-poll books and vote centers, you can vote anywhere. So we're very proud of how that process has been working. As I keep talking about technology, probably my most exciting announcement is going to be coming this spring, we're going to roll out our mobile application. For those of you who have smartphones and you've downloaded various apps, especially the weather app, which is going to be very key during your legislative session, we're in the final stages of having our election app. You'll be able to be on your phone, type in an address, type in your name. It will tell you where your polling place is, or if you're a vote center, it'll tell you where your closest polling place is. You just click there to see your ballot. You click there to say, give me directions to where do I vote. So we're really excited about how this mobile app is going to, again, help us ensure that more people are able to get to the ballot. Elections are obviously a very big portion of the office, but corporations are even bigger. We didn't set any records this past year-end. The records from the previous year were the ones that broke all the records, where we saw so many new corporations come into the state. But we are continuing to see a steady increase in the number of corporations that are filing with the office. We're continuing to save taxpayer money, which makes me very excited, by the use of technology and corporations filing online versus having all that paperwork. We're really moving in the right direction there with corporations. We have more businesses coming in. I'm the one who has to come up here and sit, but none of this is possible without a great staff who are definitely producing great results that I get to sit up here and share with you. So I wanted to introduce a few folks from my office. Pat Miller on the left is my Deputy Secretary of State. Next to Pat is Mike Lauritsen, who is Director of Business Services. Next to Mike is Brandon Johnson, who is my senior elections coordinator. They help me in all of these endeavors and in moving the Secretary of State's office better and better and better. So happy to be here and looking forward to any questions, and then especially when the legislation comes around, or if you have any ideas on elections or corporations, which we're working on, feel free to let us know, and we're happy to help. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there questions of the Secretary before he takes off, other than my question? When are our financial disclosures due again?
Yes, February 3rd. Dun, dun, dun. We'll be sending out notices, and your caucuses leaders have been asking too. So all that information is out there. And petitions, if you're running again, get those before you head home. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Next on our list today would be the South Dakota Municipal League, and Yvonne Taylor is here. Good morning, Ms. Taylor.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League, and that's the first time I've gotten to say that this year. Good to be here again. We'll have a number of measures that won't, I don't think, be anything too surprising for this committee, and I'm sure probably everything we've got will be in front of this committee. We're going to talk, if you remember a couple of years ago, we asked for you to pass a major rewrite to our special assessment laws. It was a 50-some page bill. Believe it or not, we found a couple glitches in there. So we're going to ask you to fix a couple of those. Not big things, but we've run into an issue where when property is sold for tax deed, some of the charges for the work that a municipality has done on that property gets dropped off, and then we are left just holding the bill for work that has been done. And so we're going to try to fix that error in the law. That one happens to be coming out of Deadwood, so maybe we'll be able to get Mayor Turbeville to come and address the committee. We have a bill in that, in our world, is kind of a big deal. Right now, if you are an incumbent in a municipal office and you do not file a petition to run again, and nobody else files a petition to run again, you hold your office for a whole nother term. We've decided that you should probably have to at least file the petition. So we've got a bill in that says that that creates a vacancy, and it is filled by appointment just like any other vacancy. We're going to ask you to specifically allow us to adopt the property maintenance code. This has been a wonderful thing. One of the constant issues in the 20-some years I've been around is cleaning up these towns, making somebody take care of their property. because it affects everybody's property values when one of them is run down. The property maintenance code has been a great thing. It's something that a small town is capable of adopting and administering, and it's something you can do through the Uniform Building Code, but they would like this, the ability specifically to adopt it on its own as a standalone thing. And so you'll see that bill. We're going to ask for you to remove a restriction on us requiring people to accept payment electronically. Right now, we can only require employees to accept payment electronically. We're going to ask to do that with everyone. And I think the time has come. It certainly is an electronic finance world now. Our largest cities, especially, in order to operate efficiently, need to be able to just go to electronic payments. We will continue to, just like we can now, accept payments electronically. We would have no intention or need to mandate that. But if people want to be able to do that, they can. But we cannot require people to accept payment electronically. And so we're going to ask for that restriction to be removed. And then the biggest issue for us is almost a theory thing, but it's kind of big to us. You're familiar with the concept that we are not a home rule state. We are a Dillon's rule state, and so we can only do those things that the legislature allows us to do and those things that are necessarily implied. Through the years, just through various court opinions, through various audit findings, whatever, we've more and more and more had the sense that necessarily implied has been removed. And so we come forward every year to the legislature with very specific, very small pieces of legislation to get very small abilities to do things. One example is we came in one year with a bill that would allow us to use credit cards because we couldn't do it until we had legislative authority. We feel that's ridiculous. And so we're going to come to you with a bill that's going to look very broad, but that's what it is asking you to do, is just basically put back necessarily implied for administrative actions, financial actions, and for economic development activities. And so you'll see that in front of this committee. It's big to us, but it's more of a theory than a reality, but it would give us something to point to when somebody says, you can't do that, we'd say, yep, we can. And with that, we have probably 10 bills, nothing earth-shattering this year. We'll see what everybody else brings for us, but the only other thing I'd like to do is introduce Jeff Melhoff, who's with our office and is somebody you've seen in the past. He's our director of municipal electric services, but also helps us out on just general municipal league issues. And I guess the third thing is you may also see me here or somewhere. I also represent the South Dakota Municipal Police Chiefs Association. So it's my only other badge. But with that, thank you for allowing us to do this.
Thank you. Are there any questions? I don't want to get specifics into bills, just general questions, because we're going to have time to grill them later on the bills. But go ahead, Representative Bilsam.
Thank you, Chair, Mr. Chair. One question on your cleanup. Will that apply to counties as well, but municipal cleanup only, or will counties be able to do cleanup?
I believe it would be a county. I think we're putting it in 11.5 where it'll fall right after the International Building Code, so I think it would be anybody that can adopt.
Perfect, because that doesn't exist now.
Yep.
Further questions? You mentioned that bill that was a couple of years ago. Most of us are freshmen on this, so we weren't here, so you can't blame us for making that mistake back then. So, okay.
No, we take full responsibility for the glitches.
Well, I think if you would have had this committee here, we would have found it. We would have taken care of it for
you. I have no doubt.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Look forward to working with you this session. Next on the list is the South Dakota County Commissioners. We have Mr. Bob Wilcox. Good morning, Mr. Wilcox, and welcome.
Now it's off, and now it is. Yvonne, why'd you shut it off? So, with that being said, that's probably our primary bill that we're going to be bringing this year. We have three, as I said earlier, three bills in our portfolio. The second one is we're looking at the current property tax limitations that are placed on counties. We are going to hopefully secure an opportunity to bring in front of you an adjustment on that current cap that we have in place. Our final bill actually comes out of Representative Olson's neck of the woods. It's adjusting the counties currently have predator bounties. This piece of legislation is asking to increase that bounty that currently is in place in statute of $2. an additional $4. It's a local option for the counties, and that would be our third bill that we'll be bringing to you in front of, hopefully, this committee this year. With that, that's kind of what we have going on the county side. Mr. Telehusen will be getting up. He is the primary lead lobbyist for the county officials side of our house, if you will, and he'll explain what he has, and we'll be working on those together. As always, our contract lobbyist, as many, all of you probably do know, is Lauren Pankratz. He's busy in the Capitol running around chasing some stuff for me as this committee is going on today. So he will be, feel free to share anything with Lauren. And our deputy director, who's been with us since we've started again, is Chris Jacobson in the back of the room there. Again, she's going to be working the halls of the Capitol, and both Roger and Lauren and Chris have just been invaluable to our association. So with that, Mr. Chair, thank you again for the opportunity to appear in front of the committee, and if you have any questions, we'll stand by. Thank you, and welcome back, all of you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Any questions of Mr. Wilcox? Seeing none, we'll move along to Mr. Telehusen, if he's here. There he is. He was behind the pillar. He is with the South Dakota County officials.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Roger Telehusen, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Officials. County Officials Association consists of the auditors, treasurers, and registers of deeds for each of the counties in South Dakota. We have four bills this year. The first one is called the Uniform Real Property Electronic Recording Act. And it's a long name for a bill that will allow businesses and entities such as banks and title companies to record documents in the Register of Deeds office electronically. Currently, in order to record any document, a hard copy of the document has to be delivered to the Register of Deeds office. Typically, they're recorded, then they're microfilmed, and the original document is returned to the sender. This bill, which is a Uniform Law Commission bill, will allow for the electronic recording of those types of documents. The Bankers Association, the title companies, were all involved in the vetting process and are all in support of this bill. It's a rather long bill. It's a rather dry bill to read, but certainly if you have any questions about it as you're reviewing it, please feel free to contact me. The other bill, another bill that we have is what I've referred to as the polling place bill. Currently in the law, it's prohibited to electioneer or campaign around a polling place on election day or when absentee ballots become available. But there's been some inconsistent application of that law around the state between the county auditors. Some take the position that when absentee ballots are available at the courthouse, that electioneering prohibition goes into effect. And so campaigning cannot occur within 100 feet of the courthouse. Other county auditors have not read the law that way. The amendment to the existing law is one sentence long, and it simply clears up that confusion and makes for uniform application of the law, which in effect extends to absentee voters the same protections that we otherwise extend to voters who vote on election day. In other words, campaigning can't occur within 100 feet of the polling place, even when absentee ballots become available to be exercised. Again, I'll be happy to answer any questions about that when you have a chance to review the bill. The third bill is a redemption bill. And when a county issues a tax deed and the owner of that property comes in to redeem the property from the tax deed, current law allows the county to recover up to $200 of their out-of-pocket costs that they incurred in going through the tax deed process. The publication costs, the title search costs, and things, any attorney's fees that may have been involved that the county had to spend in order to get the property conditioned in such that it could put it up for a tax deed sale. That cap of $200 has been in place since 1979. The auditors have suggested that it be raised to $300. Again, it's still a cap. It still requires the auditor to prepare a verified statement of actual costs that they incurred, not to exceed that $300. So that will be a bill that will be coming around for your consideration. The last bill is basically a cleanup bill in the sense that One part of our statutes didn't keep up with another part in regards to the selection of the master jury pools for counties. In years past, the way that pool was selected was the county auditor, the chairman of the county commission, and the clerk of courts would gather at the beginning term of court, and they would literally draw the names randomly from the registered voters list of that county to select their master jury pool for that term of court. For a number of years, that process has actually been handled at the state court administrator's office through the use of computerization and random drawings with computers, and then they send out to each county their master jury list. However, when that process was put in place, we did repeal the statute that still designated the auditor, county commission chairman, and the clerk of courts as the board, the election, or the jury board that was supposed to select that that pool. So we're just asking that that existing statute be repealed. And that, Mr. Chairman, is the sum and substance of the four bills that I'll be carrying on behalf of the South Dakota Association of County Officials. I suspect that as in years past, I'll be here to offer comment to bills that are offered by other proponents, sometimes as a proponent, sometimes as an opponent. But as always, if anyone has any question about county officials, specifically those three offices that you'd like to have me track down an answer for, I'd be happy to do that. Just give me a shout. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tellinghuysen. Anybody have a question of Mr. Tellinghuysen? Seeing none, thank you very much. And finally, last but not least, you know, when we go out and campaign, I think every one of us talks about the grassroots effort. Our next speaker is going to be basically when it gets to government, forms of government, this is the grassroots, our townships. Towns and townships. This time, Mr. Dick Howard is going to talk to us a little bit about the townships.
Okay.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Dick Howard. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. In South Dakota, there are still 911 organized townships. The majority of those are in the eastern third of the state, but we have some in quite a few in Pennington, Perkins, some of the West River counties. The association is governed by a 13-member board. The association's main office is in Huron. The main responsibility for townships is roads and bridges. And townships have about 31,000 miles of roads. The townships get about 1.7% of the total property tax that's paid in the state. The average tax rate in townships is 80 cents per $1,000 of value. Townships are, they're limited at a maximum of $3 per thousand. A lot of them got caught in the, when the tax freeze hit, they had been encouraged to spend down reserves they have, and so a lot of them had reduced their levy, and it's, I like to say they were caught with their levy down. But so they use the opt-out provision quite a bit, and I'm putting together some information on the success of opt-outs among townships. But as the chairman said, townships represent grassroots government, and for those of you that haven't been involved in township government, the annual meeting, which is held in March of each year, all of the elected or all of the registered registered resident voters are able to fully participate in the meeting. They can make motions, they can vote on issues, and so it's, I mean, it's really grassroots where the people who are being governed are able to participate in. Two main things they do at that meeting is they elect their officers and they establish the tax levy for the upcoming year, the amount of revenue. So it's pretty important, and everyone participates. The township is governed by a five-member body, three elected supervisors, and an elected clerk and treasurer who are non-voting members of the board. Just some examples of revenue and expenditures of townships. In fiscal year 2012, the total revenue for all townships in the state was $38.8 million. About $8.8 million of that came from FEMA because of all the flooding and damages we had to our roads and bridges. So that left about $30 million that was raised locally. Of that, $14.7 million, or just right at 50%, came from property tax. The other main source of revenue for townships is the motor vehicle registration fees. And so the remaining 50% came from registration fees and some other miscellaneous sources. As far as expenditures, 84% of the expenditures went to roads and bridges. So that clearly shows where the priorities are. Other areas of responsibility that townships have deal with ambulance service and fire protection. In fire protection, about 4% of the expenditures were in fire protection and about 1% in ambulance services. The cost for the high salaries, fees, and travel for the supervisors was about 1.4%. So that's their main operating expense. The way we establish the township legislative program is at their annual meeting each year, which traditionally is held in December during a blizzard. But they adopt their resolutions, which establish this policy for the townships on all kinds of issues. They also adopt resolutions, which lays out our legislative program for the upcoming year. We are looking this year at introducing two bills. One is about a 10-page, 30-section bill that looks at repealing and amending township laws that some of them were adopted in 1872 before statehood, and quite a few of them in 1893, which was shortly after statehood. Some of them have been amended or changed since like 1919. Some of them need just to be amended to bring them up to date. There are a lot of others that will be. Things have changed a bit in South Dakota since statehood. The second bill deals with increasing the penalties for damaging and removing highway signs. We're proposing to add a civil penalty to that. The rural highway signs are very good targets for young shooters or old shooters. And there are places where individuals don't like where a stop sign's placed or something. We've had quite a bit of problem with stop signs and other signs actually being removed. I mean, a stop sign is a pretty big sign and it's on a pretty big post, so it takes quite a bit to pull that up out of the ground, but we have cases where they're lifts of whatever sort and pull them out of the ground. Others, they're all mounted on breakaway poles. Others have just broke them off at the surface. And they leave them lay there or they take them. But we'd like to do something to try to reduce that vandalism, because highway signs are, they're an important safety feature. So I guess that's about what we will have for legislation. Any information any of you want on townships or how they operate or anything, let me know. For you.
Thank you, Mr. Howard. And any questions? Howard, any questions at all? Thank you for coming in this morning. Thank all of those that came this morning. And the reason why I had this morning was just to familiarize the members of the committee with those we will see a lot of. And I think each of them commented as they were finishing their talks, questions or assistance on stuff. They are very helpful. They're around the Capitol. Use them. If you've got a bill that deals with some of these people, some of these issues, some of these organizations, go ahead and approach them and talk to them about it. They are a great resource. Take advantage of it while it's here. I've just been handed a note. Could you remind people to leave their binders? So before you go today, leave your binder, put it up on top. Thank you, and Something I did miss earlier, but I thought I would. I saw Fred poke his head in here. Our former LRC staffer. We do have a new LRC staffer, so I'm going to put her on the hot seat and have you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am Roxanne Hammond. I work at the LRC. I just graduated from USC School of Law in May, and before that, I graduated from SCSU.
So you Jackrabbit and Coyote fans, I guess, can be happy. But us Yellow Jacket fans on the other side of the state, we're still looking for someone to help us. We still have our same secretary. Liz Markley is back with us this year. She's been a big, big help. If you folks are reading, and I know you all take those minutes home with you at night, you read them through and you study them. If you have a question on the minutes, remember, I signed them, but doesn't mean they're correct. So if you have a question on the minutes, let us know before the meeting starts. Contact her, and then we can always make that motion to make an amendment to the minutes. Sometimes we are pretty lax on approval of the minutes, and we go through the motions. But there have been times where we've had to make amendments to the minutes due to something that usually myself as a chair, I'll take the blame because it's something I did. But we all know that. Are there any questions? Are there any comments for the good of the committee? I want to remind everybody we will not meet Tuesday. Be ready to go on Thursday. I will hopefully have a bill or two then, I hope. Just keep in touch, and we'll kind of play it by ear from there. Are there any comments, questions? Being none, I will entertain that motion. Representative Heineman moves that we adjourn, and it was seconded by Representative Craig. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.